My name is James Munglehig. I'm a musician from Darwin, Northern Territory.
This isn't the first time you've worked with Joel. You've done a number of gigs together, as well as premiered your first collaborative show, In Between Two Sounds, at the Darwin Festival in 2014. What drew you to collaborating with each other?
We met because I was a fan of Joel's music. I'd heard him rapping on the radio, and I instantly sort of looked up who he was, and I found out he was a mixed race Asian Australian who had a Chinese father. And when we met, one of the first things we connected on was the fact that we had Asian fathers, and sort of the stereotype mixed race Asian in Australia often has a white father, or Australian father, European father, and an Asian mother. But also kind of realizing that our upbringings were completely different, but it was definitely a point where we went, oh, your dad's Asian, my dad's Asian too. We were both grew up in Australia, and we felt, you know, we have Australian accents, and we identify as being Australian, but also identify as feeling a little bit alien in Australia as well.
This isn't the first incarnation of the show. How did In Between Two Sounds evolve into the show you're premiering at the Sydney Festival this year?
Basically, we were so, it was like fate in a weird way. We were lucky to have Annette Chunghwa in the audience at the Darwin show. I think her seeing a kind of thrown together stories and song show encouraged her to sort of approach us and talk to us. And she met with Joel and said, you know, I have this company, Performance 4A, and we sort of tell Asian stories and we have this great support network. Would you guys be interested in us sort of taking on this show and developing it and working with the masterful storyteller William Yang, which has been amazing? So it's been a year of developing, really.
Did you use a different artistic lens in creating music for the show compared to the one you would use in creating other tracks?
Definitely. We make hip-hop, so we make music with often banging drums and loud synths and samples. And for this show, we underplayed the music because the music is actually just the background to our story. So it suddenly became a lot more about the stories and a lot more about, I guess, the photos. While the first version of the show was kind of a lot more about just throwing the stories in between the songs. And this time we've actually written a specific song for the show and soundtracked our own stories by writing new music for it.
And what kind of stories can audiences expect from the show?
Well, it's funny because our stories start in different generations. Joel's story starts with his grandmother, and mine basically starts with my father. So we're telling stories about people coming, our parents and our grandparents coming to Australia, and the way they kind of survived and how they coped, and the story of how they got there as well. It breaks down to a more personal side of how me and Joel have sort of conducted ourselves growing up in Australia. And we kind of, I guess we don't really say to the audience, though, we're mixed race Asian and these are our experiences. But I think sometimes it's better not to even have to say that, just to kind of, you know, tell our story from our perspective and the audience to kind of relate to things. Because, you know, people across all cultures relate to those sort of different things that young people go through. So we sort of touch on our teenage years a little bit. I tell stories about going back to the Philippines as well and what that was like. And Joel tells us his stories of how he first found music and what it meant to him. And I talk about how I found music in a completely different way to Joel. So We try not to make it have a weight just on, I guess, telling only the stories of our fathers. It filters down into our stories as well, and how, I guess, the different things about our fathers have affected us and who we are.
Tell us a little about the process of creating the show and researching about your upbringing. What are some of the things that surprised you about your own family history?
Well, I didn't really know that my father, when he came to Adelaide from the Philippines, I didn't really know that he still felt as much resentment, I guess, from some of my mother's family as he did, even though, you know, eventually, obviously, they've accepted him now and they love him because he's an awesome, you know, husband and father and person. But I think just hearing my dad tell stories and looking at a photo, for example, of him in Adelaide in 1979 and me sort of asking him, tell me about this time. And I'd never done that before. I'd never asked him to tell me about a specific time, and him to describe to me what it felt like to have to borrow money off, you know, my mum's eldest brother, and how that made him feel, and how he just wanted to work so hard to pay that money back so he didn't, you know, because people were very wary of Asians in Adelaide at the time. A lot of Chinese had come over and were living in Melbourne and Adelaide, and people thought my dad was Chinese, but he's Filipino. It was definitely a time where people were watchful of anyone from other cultures, as people in Australia often are now even. I mean, some would say it hasn't changed much, but definitely hearing those stories from my dad, which he never kind of, when we grew up, he never complained. He always was very positive about being in Australia, and he always said it was so lucky that he got here because he could provide for his family back in the Philippines, and how lucky he was that, you know, he got this opportunity. But then, you know, once I got sort of below the surface, he uncovered more things and ways he was made to feel by certain people when he was first in Australia.
And what can be achieved by sharing these deeply personal family histories in this format, in a live performance with different visual and musical elements, rather than, say, a written memoir?
A very high level of vulnerability. I think you suddenly realize that you are, you know, I think William and Annette have a gift at sort of getting those sort of stories out of you that maybe you sort of put away in a box because you didn't really want to share them with everyone, but they really are strong and they make up who you are. So it's definitely more emotional already for me, even having just done the rehearsals and a showing. But also it feels really honest, and it feels really lucky to be able to share this stuff.
It goes one for the money, two for the privilege. I grew up in the inner city of Sydney. Problems, I had a whole lot of them in me. Smoked a lot of weed at the age of 16. Spent time trying to find out my history. Wondering what it was the wind was whispering. I'm from a land where the sunlight's blistering. And everybody's got their own get rich quick scheme. Money, 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 make more money quickly.
The act of going through family history is delicate for everyone. And it can uncover a lot of skeletons and cobwebs in terms of people's lives. And with this show, I think I've tried to be as fearless as possible and be as representative of my truth as possible and be respectful of my family and even the weird bits, because there is a lot of weird stuff that comes out in the show. I just wanted to be honest.
It's been said that In Between Two lays out fractured family histories for the audience to witness. What kind of support did your family and friends provide in helping you weave the story together?
Man, my family were amazing. I mean, I come from a very strong, solid sense of support within my family unit. So even though my parents broke up when I was really young, I can actually never recall them ever being together. My mum and dad are still really good friends, and they've both in their own way been absolutely supportive of my artistic endeavours. And when it came time to research this show, they were there to provide stories, and they let me go through all their photos and ask some, you know, questions, question after question after question. Some of them pretty delicate questions as well, about how they met, about why they broke up, about my dad's experience of growing up in Australia in the 50s and 60s as a Chinese kid, you know, being one of only two Asian kids at the school that he went to in Sydney, and experiencing pretty intense bullying. And, you know, so I was kind of delving around some pretty delicate stuff for them.
And how do you think this honesty, this willingness to share your history with complete strangers, can contribute to Australia's discourse on multiculturalism?
The aim is not to show the diversity of Australian cultural history, but it's inevitable that that's what comes out, because that's who we are. What we try to do is just be as honest and authentic about our stories as possible, and almost kind of say, okay, there's maybe a very typical narrative around growing up in the 90s in Australia and, you know, what that means. But for a whole bunch of people out there, there's this other angle, which is you just never felt like you fit in. When you turned on the TV, you never saw people who looked like you. You never, you know, you have an experience of sometimes nursing embarrassment about your parents' accents, or about, you know, having to translate for your parents and make phone calls to electricity companies and, you know, and explaining things. And, yeah, that detail is something that I think a lot of people relate to, and maybe it's something that, you know, more people who don't relate to it could get something out of.
And what do you hope younger Asian Australians can take from your show?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I was saying to James, you know, I mean, the show, it's really hard because we're so involved and it's so sort of subjective that it's really hard for us to imagine what the experience of watching it is like, because it's kind of like telling your life story and your family story. You just hope people are interested. But I did think one of the best things that could come from this show is that if other kids see it and choose to tell their own story in some form or other, choose to represent themselves and the differences that they grew up with in a really fearless way. So I hope that, you know, if there's young Asian kids who come to the show, that they recognize it, and they also get a sense of pride from it, like a sense of belonging, which, you know, I guess is part of the show, is like it's about having that, not having a sense of belonging to the mainstream Australian culture, and And in that, I think James and I found a sense of belonging together, and then amongst a lot of other, more of our friends who are from multicultural backgrounds, or, you know, even just confused kids that we just sort of banded together, lots of outsiders. I think there's a belonging in that, and hopefully, you know, if some young Asian kids come, they feel that. They want to represent. Assembly singing the anthem, the words sound empty and I can't stand them. Even back then I had to deal with the phantom. I call myself Australian, shorthand for random. Bang to the boogie, bang bang the boogie, bang to the boogie, bang bang the boogie, bang to the boogie, bang bang the boogie, bang to the lucky country boogie with me. Bang to the boogie, bang bang the boogie, bang to the boogie, bang bang the boogie, bang to the boogie, bang bang the boogie, bang to the boogie with me. I got a Chinese father and a white mother, and I was a punk drummer back when I was just a young and